in terms of bidding. I'm looking at what was spent the prior year and making sure leading up to that sale, I'm setting my daily ad spend high enough so I'm not fighting for territory once we enter a busy promo season. It's a lot of prep before, monitoring during to make sure nothing is breaking and making sure that we're opening things up to get the most conversions the most efficiently. And then after the promo, making sure that we're doing the cleanest, nicest clothes and that nothing's running after. So I would say there's definitely three different stages in a promo. The prep you're doing before is different from what you're doing during and then what you're doing after.
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup. It's all killer, no filler. I'm Eric. This is the D2C Podcast. And today I am extremely excited to have returning guest Adam from our Google team and then a very first appearance from Amanda Rising Star in Pilot House. Welcome to All Killer No Filler. Adam, why don't you start? Today we're going to talk about promo, setting up your promotions on Google. Why can this be such a headache, or why are promotions on Google something that requires an entire All Killer No Filler episode?
Okay, that's a big question, Eric. I'm going to try to do my best to answer it for you. Okay, so setting up promos on Google can be a bit of a pain because there's a couple ways to come at it. You can either start whole new campaigns for the promos, or you can modify an existing campaign to be more about a promo, right?
Because when you think about it, Google is one of those slow, as we've always described it, it's a big, long takeoff with like a lot of momentum. Whereas in Meta and these other platforms, you're launching promo campaigns, you're launching brand new ones, whereas you're dealing with a lot of momentum with Google that you have to make sure you maintain as you ramp up these promos, right?
That's a really good point. Yeah, that's kind of exactly what I was getting to. By using existing campaigns, you retain the learnings that are in those campaigns already. You know, in terms of targeting, that kind of thing, and any sort of ad rank scores that you would already had in that campaign all get retained. And it just, by modifying those existing ones instead of creating new ones, you're maintaining some of that efficiency that comes along with those learnings. So even in modifying existing campaigns, it can be a bit of a headache because you need to go in and manually change everything and then click publish or save or what have you right when the sale starts. And depending on where your client is and what time zone you're in, you could be up at 3 a.m. making sure that everything goes live at once. So what Amanda is going to talk about a bit is it kind of like a checklist for all the things you want to do for a promo when you got a promo coming up, and how to set up automations so all that stuff happens for you without you needing to do it at 3 a.m.
Yeah. So if you're in promo season, if it's November, you have more than one client at Pilot House, you could potentially have different alarms going off at different times to launch a site link extension, launch a promotion extension. You can automate that in Google. So you're not setting that alarm for midnight to get up, launch that extension. That's happening in the background already, which is also just important as closing down your promotion. The last thing you want is to have site link extensions showing, promotion extensions showing after your promo has already ended. And if you're having 5, 10 client accounts, you're spending a lot of time doing closing duties. I kind of refer to it as, do you want to, when you're washing dishes, do you want to wash your dishes in the dishwasher or do you want to manually hand wash them all? I'm going for the dishwasher 10 out of 10 times, and I'm doing that through enabling my assets to show at a certain duration. One thing that is really important in the checklist, and it's something that I gave one slide to, is making sure your end times are set correctly from Google Merchant Center and in Google Ads, especially if you're new to buying or if you're not frequently running promotions. This is one thing that can trip a buyer up because the end time is set differently between platforms. So if you're setting a promo extension to end on Google, let's say on a promo that ends January 4th, for example, you're using January 4th as your end date, but you're using January 5th as your end date in Google Merchant Center. Because in Google Merchant Center, your promo ends on that day, whereas GA will serve for the duration of that day. So if you're setting both to end on, let's say, the 5th, your promotion in Google Merchant Center is actually ending on the 4th, and you're losing last day of the sale.
So Merchant Center is inclusive when you set the dates, and Google is not inclusive.
Yeah, so in a Google Merchant Center, it'll serve up until that day, so until the clock strikes midnight on that day, but then you're missing during the day when people will actually be doing most of their shopping.
Gotcha.
I could see that's something that a lot of people could miss.
They don't make it easy for us between platforms.
No, why would they?
Why would they? Another thing that I check for, and I usually do this when onboarding a new client, but if you haven't done it while onboarding, you definitely want to be looking at it for setting up at promotion, and that is checking for time zone misalignment between both platforms. I've gone into set a promotion before and noticed that a time zone is different in your Google Merchant Center from your Google Ads, which will cause your ads to run at times that you didn't expect them to run because you don't have things set in the same timeline. So that is another thing that you want to be checking for before you start your promo. Planning and executing early are the two most important things when you're going into a promo. Planning always is starting with having those initial conversations with your customer of how they're displaying the sale, because that's going to guide you in how you're setting up the rest of your promo inside Merchant Center. Are they running a strike through price on the PDP, or are they providing a discount code at checkout? That's going to tell you if you're running a Google Merchant promotion or you're using a sales annotation in the supplemental feed to set your promotion. And with Google, nothing is instant. So if you're going in, let's say Friday, a Black Friday, Cyber Monday to set your promotion, you're going to need at least 24 hours for Google to actually validate that promotion. And in busy times, this can take up to 3 days. So if you think that you're launching a promotion on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, your promotion could actually not get approved until the Monday, and then you're missing out 75% of your 4-day promotion. So set your promotions early, give Google that time to validate that promotion. If you're using a sale price annotation inside the supplemental feed, make sure you're using sale price effective dates and setting that earlier than your display dates. Give Google that time to actually approve your promotion and start running it.
Amazing. So we've just exited what you'd call promo season, I guess, considering, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. What are just high level when it comes to Google and promotional strategy? Are there already new promos that you're launching? Like, or what promos are we planning in Q1 2024 that we're already thinking about?
A lot of clients I'm working with do end of January sales. We're in Q5 right now, which is the most awkward time of business for everyone. So everyone's done their December shopping. We're a little spent financially, mentally, everything. So right now we're focusing on building top of funnel so we can lead into another promotion end of January, beginning of February. And then we're getting into Valentine's Day. We're in spring now. Things are getting a little bit more exciting. People are getting busier. So right now, focusing on top of the funnel like we do before every sales promotion, we're already talking to clients about their next promotion because we want to get all of this set up in Google as much as possible. So when that promotion is set to run, all the learnings are there, everything's been approved. And then basically we can focus on building that top of funnel. And then while the promotion is running, our main focus is bidding and making sure that the budget is there.
And maximizing every corner of that promotion so that everything's live when it needs to be, everything's off when it needs to be. Are there any other sort of advanced settings that you're working with when it comes to setting up these promos?
We use advanced settings to set start and end times of extensions and assets in Google. One mistake that you can see possibly a newer buyer make is you can set a display time for your extension. So on your promo extension, if your promo is January 1st to January 5th, it'll display that this promo is valid from January 1st to January 5th. But if you're not clicking the advanced settings tab and setting that the promo is actually to run and show on Google from the 1st to the 5th, that promotion extension is going to keep running for the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, but it's just going to say valid from. So you want to make sure not only are you displaying the right dates, but you're using that advanced setting to make sure they are running the right dates.
Very cool. One of the things that came from the Meta team that was happening, I think this was happening like after Black Friday, they were talking about how I think one of the promotions got accidentally turned back on. And it did quite well. It was one of those campaigns that just sort of like, and it was partially like, it was this like customer mindset of like, ooh, I've got one over on these guys, or this brand isn't, you know, their lack of attention will be my benefit. Yeah. And so it made people feel like they were getting the jump on these brands who are maybe leaving their promos running too long. Have we seen any benefits from doing things like that on the Google side?
I haven't seen that personally. It could work out because if you're client hasn't taken away the discount code, perhaps the customer could still input that discount code at checkout. But if you're running a strike through on the PDP and then that's gone from your website and someone clicks on your promotion, hits the website, and then all of a sudden it goes from the customer thinking they have one on you to the customer thinking, hey, they're trying to pull one over on me.
That's bad. Yeah. Funnel congruency. You need funnel congruency all the way through. And there's just so many settings. It's been, you know, it's funny. I came up running Google AdWords like a long, I won't even tell you how long ago.
Not called but AdWords anymore. That's how long.
Yeah, that's how you know how long ago it was. Yeah. But it's just gotten so much more. There's just so many toggles, you know, nests with, you know, menus within menus within menus. That's why I think this resource that you've created is going to be super valuable. So we'll make sure that this checklist that we have that will allow people to kind of go through for their next promotional period and really check every aspect of this. Because I bet there's a few things that people could miss if they don't.
Yeah, you're really just making it easier on yourself by following a checklist. I have a to-do list for everything. So this to-do list kind of just came out of me needing to write myself a to-do list before I even do something. I'm known to write a to-do list, and even though I've already done something, I'll rewrite it on my to-do list just the satisfaction to cross it out. So if you're a to-do list person, use this to-do list. It's going to make your life so much easier. You're not going to miss anything. That being said, I am still the person who is setting alarms during Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and checking that the machine did what I was supposed to tell it, what I told it to do. So I'm double checking, but it will make your life a lot easier to not set those alarms all through sale promotion starting at midnight. This time zone, it's actually 10 p.m., but I can't help but double check it either. Speaking of double checking, during the sales promotion, you also want to be going into diagnostics, checking that all your products are approved. There's nothing scarier than launching a sale, checking product diagnostics, and all your products are disapproved during your sale for one small mistake. So I'm constantly looking at that every day. Clients are busy. They're business owners. They may have told you something during your initial meeting and you've set up the promotion in a certain way. And then it launches and then it's different from what they told you. And then their products are disapproved. So we want to be the main point of contact and we want to be noticing this before the sale is over and hasn't ran so we can address this and get the best opportunity to run for the whole sales duration.
I think you touched on an important component there that we haven't really mentioned yet is if you're doing media buying on Google for yourself, you can keep yourself responsible for making sure that you're ahead of the game. You know, like Amanda said, you want to get these things set up ahead of time so Google can approve all the ads, all that kind of thing. But if you're working with a client, and you know, lots of times when you're working with clients, they have a lot going on, especially in the medium to small DTC businesses. There's not just one person who's doing a role. It's like a person's playing multiple roles. So if they're not prepared, then you can't be prepared. And then you get to this point where, you know, am I hassling the client to make sure that we have a promo calendar in effect? You have to be very open with your communication with the client about what the deadlines are for the things that you need. You know, it's like, I need the promo specifics locked 4 weeks before the promo actually happens. And I know that that sounds like an easy ask, but with, you know, running a business, there's a lot of things that take precedent over that kind of thing. So it's really important to foster good communication and understanding about what your needs are and why you need them.
How pre-planned are we with promos generally? Like, how many months out do you advise clients to be prepared in the promo game on Google?
I want all of the promos at the beginning of every quarter, at the very least. A month in advance is, I think, a good metric to go by. But, you know, earlier the better, right? Always have things prepped and ready to go. That way, when there are last minute changes or something, you're ready. You know, if you wait until the end and then you scramble to get everything done and then there's a tweak, you might have to change a lot of stuff. But if you plan ahead, then you might only have to change like 10% of it. You know, just one detail might get changed.
And Google's a big boat, so sometimes it can take 3 business days to turn it around when it gets its momentum up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Google's not nimble. But Amanda, you also touched on another important point, is that paying attention to the time zones is super important, and having this prep done in advance is super important. Mainly because you can completely miss the boat if you're not prepared. So preparation, what is that saying? You probably know it, Eric. It's like
measure twice, cut once.
Where preparation meets perspiration, or opportunity and preparation. I can't remember what it is. I'm going to have to Google this now.
Well, you Google that. You should have been more prepared, Adam. That's kind of disappointing.
Oh,
but
God damn. Cold-blooded.
Yeah. Another thing that we'll see frequently in Google is, you're writing new ad copy for ads coming out. I write my ad copy for those sales early, use labels and rules to pause my pre-promo ads, and then enable my promo ads, and then another set of rules to pause my promo ads and re-enable my pre-promo ads. So it's really important when you're using rules and labels for ads that you look after, and you have 4 different rules to make sure everything is turning on and off correctly. Just talking about Google not being nimble and taking a little bit of time, it's really important to know that if you create a new ad for your sale, you immediately pause it. Google is still doing the approval process while your ad is paused. So your ad doesn't have to be enabled to go through the learning stages and to get that validation for your promotion to start. And then using those rules and labels, again, you don't have to be setting that alarm to jump on your computer when a promo starts at midnight just to pause an ad and enable one you've already created. That can all be done with rules and labels.
I'm just Googling, like, I Googled AdWords editor because that's what I remembered using like over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is it still an app? Is that still what, I haven't run Google in a really long time. Are we still using an app that overlays the platform? Or are you working directly on the web app these days with Google Ads Editor?
I would say both. A lot of buyers work in Ads Editor, and then a lot of buyers work on platform. You can definitely schedule this in Ads Editor as well. I find it easier using the rules and labels for my ad copy personally, but you have the option to use both.
Yeah, Ads Very Editor cool. is really useful if you're making big changes, like many changes at once, but for the like macro stuff, right? If you want to think about it in that context, Ads Editor is great for macro changes, and you want to go into the platform to make very detailed changes.
Very interesting. During promotions, are you making any other, are you making changes to your bidding strategy or your keyword strategy ever? I guess keywords are kind of even not even used that much. I think you're using a lot more AI automation now, but are there any other changes you're making on your campaigns during promos?
I'm making changes leading up to my promos in terms of bidding. I'm looking at what was spent the prior year during Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and making sure leading up to that sale, I'm setting my daily ad spend high enough so I'm not fighting for territory once we enter a busy promo season. So we're showing Google that we're a stable buyer on Google, that we have the ad spend going into your promo, and then they're giving us a better place on the SERP once you get there, because we've already done the spending in advance and we're not changing our daily ad spend from $10 a day to $1,000 a day on Black Friday and trying to get into the market that way. But then once we're in Black Friday, Cyber Monday, we're still looking at the bids. We're still looking at the daily ad spend. If you're getting efficient conversions in the morning, but then your ad spend is about to run out, we're pinging our clients, seeing if we're raising budgets to capture the rest of the conversions that are coming in. It's a lot of prep before, monitoring it during to make sure nothing is breaking, and making sure that we're opening things up to get the most conversions the most efficiently. And then after the promo, making sure that we're doing the cleanest, nicest clothes and that nothing's running after. So I would say there's definitely three different stages in a promo. The prep you're doing before is different from what you're doing during, and then what you're doing after.
Very cool. And then I wanted, one of the things I've started asking like D2C podcast guests more often is asking them about like the best offer they ever ran and like what made it so great. So my question would be, when it comes to some of the promos that we ran over the holiday season here, what are, do you have any insights on like which ones were the most successful and why, when it comes to how they were positioned, how they, you know, how they resonated with the audience, anything that came out of that that you'd share?
Amanda, could I say one thing before you share there? I just wanted to talk about the preparation component again.
Sure.
Maybe a little more specifically. So what Amanda was referencing is like looking at historical data, right? So I would go back and I would look at Black Friday, Cyber Monday performance for the previous year, like Amanda said. But what I would want to do is look at what the delta in sales is between just before Black Friday and then when Black Friday hits, because you'll see a change, right? So let's say we go from 10 conversions a week to 40 conversions a week, something like that, right? What I would do with that is you use that as a benchmark by which to gauge how much to increase your budget. So if you see that the activity has gone up, you know, 400%, I would literally increase my budget by 400%. I know that sounds a bit wild, but it's okay, because Google has a bidding, has a few target bidding strategies that are sort of, I guess they're not too much like stop losses in the stock market, but basically what it does is you can tell Google, you can set a target ROAS for a campaign, or you can set a target cost per acquisition. There are some conversion thresholds that you need to hit prior to initializing those target bidding strategies, but that comes back to preparation. So in preparing for a sales season like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you want to already have all your ducks in a row. And what that means is you've already touched on all these thresholds in your primary campaigns, so you can set target goals, because that will protect your spending as you increase budgets over the sales season. You'll still retain a certain level of efficiency if you're setting target ROAS, that kind of thing. But another part of the preparation is testing angles, testing copy, testing different visual styles. So you're completely prepared for the sales season. You want to run stuff that you know is going to work, or there's data behind it showing that it is the best performer of everything you've tested so far, because it is the most lucrative time of year. So you want to have everything on point to make sure that you're maximizing the revenue that comes from that period. So it all comes back to preparation in that sense.
And you want to, and I think, yeah, part, we were discussing that earlier, part of that process is yeah, being able to show to Google how confident you are in your choices by being able to raise your budgets and open the floodgates a little bit to be more, be prepared to spend more. And you want to be able to show them that you're ready to do that and then be able to back it up. I think it's one of the, on Twitter, we're always talking about, or people are always talking about cost caps and like, you know, it's funny the gangs that kind of form up around like, okay, you better be running cost caps, better not. Google, it sounds like it's a similar thing where you just you have to have these guardrails on your campaigns just to make, especially in during aggressive scaling periods.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of going back to what your question was about, like, what is the best type of promo? That should be something that you're testing before Black Friday as well, because there's lots of different promos you can run throughout the year. You know, upcoming, we've got, you know, the new year, new you ads that are pervasive this time of year. But then we go into Valentine's Day, President's Day, all those kind of things. So we have opportunities to test promo offers pretty much consistently in every quarter. There's a couple of them. And we want to nail down what works for that account, for those audiences, because there are best practices, but it varies from business to business, from product to product. One simple example of like what you're trying to figure out is percentage discount versus dollar amount discount. That's a big one, right? And a good rule of thumb to go by is if it's a low value product, let's say something's $20, right? You can say it's 20% off, or you can say it's $4 off. Which one sounds better?
Probably 20% off in that
case. I'll take the 20.
Exactly. But if you've got something that costs $2,000, it might be better to say you save $400, you know? Yeah.
And that also speaks to planning with our clients early on of how they're going to show the sale. If they're doing the strike through on the PDP, you get that really nice sales annotation and shopping where it'll show you this product was $40 and now it's $20 and you can see the savings. But if the client is doing a discount code in the checkout, you're going to get a badge that says special offer. And the other one could be a little bit more appealing because you see what you're saving.
Amanda. Very cool.
What is a strike through?
A strike through price. So if you click on a product, you're looking at the product, you see what that price is. And on the product display page, it's showing you what the price is now. Instead of adding that product to your cart, getting to the checkout, submitting that discount code yourself, and then seeing the product being discounted at checkout.
So it's like $2,000 crossed out, right? $1,600.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yep. And then just going back to lowering guardrails, sometimes we want to lower our guardrails during a promotion. This is where customer intent to buy is the highest. It can be scary to lower the guardrails, especially if you're looking at your conversions based on a data-driven model, because that could sometimes be going to the first click and being attributed with a bit of a conversion lag. So during every sales, I'm always looking at the metric of conversions over time so I can get a better snapshot of what's happening in my promotion right there today, instead of using a look back window, having a conversion lag. Sometimes there can be up to 11 days after a click where we see a conversion come through, and we can be reporting in the last 7 days and we're missing all those conversions because we have an 11-day lag. So looking at conversions over time is going to save you a little bit of a fear while you're looking at your promotions and thinking, oh, something's not going right, but it's just a lag in conversions.
That's the real data you want to look at. Hey, Amanda?
That's the real data.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice. One of the things we're reporting on in the newsletter right now is this shift from the Q4 holiday season, where a lot of the purchases that are being made are gifts, quite often to Q5 and Q1, where people are spending, you know, the Christmas money they got, or they're spending money that they got because they returned a present they didn't get. But in this time, you're seeing a shift to people buying things more for themselves, maybe than as gifts. I'm just trying to think in a ecosystem like Google, that might just relate to just some subtle changes on your ad language, essentially, potentially in your keywords. Is this something that goes into the way you guys think about campaigns at all?
For sure, for things like ad copy, I know a lot of times leading up until Christmas, we're talking about cutoff dates for shipping, which is not something we really have to talk about, not in a promo or not in a holiday season. So definitely the way we're speaking to the consumer with ad copy is important in terms of getting that product shipped on time if it is a gift for somebody.
Yeah, and the gifting language isn't as important, you know, post-holiday season, right? Until we come back around to like Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, that kind of thing. But yeah, removing the gifting language from ad copy, that would be part of it. Yeah, most definitely.
I think we could, I think we'll taper to the end here. And I think we could maybe do another whole podcast on this, but I'm curious, just high level, how did GA4 hold up this holiday season? Now that it's like fully in sync, was it a benefit over previous iterations of GA, this holiday season, or was it still a little rocky?
I'll go real quick. Much more accurate data. Just in general coming out of GA4 now, which provides more confidence in what you're doing on platform. It's so accurate that a lot of the primary conversion actions that we use in our accounts now are GA4 conversion actions, just because they're almost bulletproof. We do see some minor discrepancies between Google Ads conversion actions versus the GA4 ones. But the difference is usually 10%, give or take, or less, something like that. It's just the consistency and the reliability of GA4 conversion tracking is very nice now.
Nice.
Yeah. Amanda, love to hear thoughts it. On that?
When I'm looking at the Google Ads platform, we're looking at conversion tracking amongst other platforms on top of GA4 as well. If a client is using something like Triple Whale or Elevar, there's always going to be a little bit of discrepancies between conversion tracking. But on the Google platform, we can set a primary conversion action as our North Star of conversion tracking, and then track other conversions as secondary conversions. And we can see what is attributing the most conversions and decide what tracking to use on platform based on where we're seeing our most accurate conversions come from. So I think that's a really important tool to use when you are looking at conversion tracking, is measuring everything against each other to see which is the most accurate.
Yeah, and cross-referencing the data that comes from like the, you know, the source medium traffic data for conversions, you can see that on GA4 as well as if you're using Shopify as your main platform. You can view that in there too, and comparing them will give you a really good idea of how close to true GA4 actually is. And I've done that multiple times, and it's always really, really close.
And it's always important to look at revenue outside of just Google or whatever platform you're doing buying on. These days, people are having multiple touch points before they're making a sale. So even if you're not getting a conversion value tracked to the platform you're advertising on, you could still be seeing revenue go up on the business as a whole. And that's happening from somewhere. It's just multiple touch points. Someone's clicking on ad they see on Instagram, then they're searching on Google, then they're joining the mailing list, and then they could be converting after they received an email off the mailing list. So there's just multiple touch points of conversions paths now.
Very cool. All right. Well, I got to say, Amanda, you absolutely killed it on your debut appearance on the podcast. You're going to become a regular. I just know it. Adam, as always, thanks for coming on, guys. We're going to link this promotional checklist that you made, this beautifully polished promotional checklist for anyone who wants, like, I think everyone who's listening to this who runs Google should just download this and just make sure that you're not missing any of these items for your next promo for New Year, New You, Valentine's Day. It's all coming. 2024 is going to be a big one, I think, right?
Yep. Got to keep growing. Let's go, Google.
Let's go, Google. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.